Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And now we take you back once more to Guantanamo Bay. The legal complexities of these military tribunals imperfectly groping their way to justice or masking injustice. It's all for the lawyers to interpret. But for some people, watching the pretrial hearings in the case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed at Gitmo, the alleged mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, it was just the simple question, is that man responsible for the death of my loved one? The simple non-legal question on the minds of five families of the victims of those terrorist attacks who were selected to attend this round of hearings. Four families ended up attending. Bridget Bergen, reporter for WNYC Radio, was there with them. Bridget, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
So you really descended down a rabbit hole into a wonderland of, you know, the laws of planet America don't apply down there.
It was certainly unlike any story I've ever covered before.
And, you know, you were there with the families. They had their own sort of profound agenda. You, of course, going in completely fresh-eyed to this whole thing. What was the family's sense?
These families, they made the point over and over. These were four families among 3,000. And so they had, you know, different perspectives even among themselves.
They didn't want to speak for the victims.
No, they certainly did not want to be held out as the view of the victims.
Right.
They wanted to speak from their own personal experience, how they as individuals were experiencing this process, both in terms of how it made them feel emotionally and just witnessing what they, in some of the cases, they described as, you know, the mundane legal proceedings. I spoke with Lorene Salido, who said, you know, you heard from her the frustration of how long the process was taking. And this is what she said.
So I want to say to the defense and the prosecutor, try your case based on what the law said, and let's get justice moving.
Now, Lorene lost a son, Matthew, employee at Cantor Fitzgerald, up high on the North Tower. In the voices here, and we're going to hear another one, this is the husband of Lorene, you hear a reverence for this process that they're observing, but also a frustration.
Well, what's interesting about this, we spoke to Matthew on Tuesday. So that was after there had been 2 days of hearings. But because of some of the decisions that were made through the process, the judge actually had suspended hearings for Wednesday. So here these families are coming down. They only get 4 days to witness what's happening. And because of how the process works, the judge is not even bringing, you know, court into session on that Wednesday. And so he was feeling this real sense of frustration about basically having a day taken away from them.
I do believe that this is a great country that even lowlifes, excuse me, but lowlifes such as these people that killed, that made the plan that killed my son, even have their day in court and even can stop the whole process because we gave them their lawyers because our system says that's the way we do things. There is a kind of a weird way of saying, yes, I am proud of our nation for doing that, but it does hurt.
Wow. Matthew Salido of Naples, Florida. Give us a sense of the visuals. How are people moved around? What sorts of airlocks do you have to go in to finally make it to the courtroom?
Sure. The families are actually kept in a completely separate area from where the media stays. They are staying in, you know, townhouses. The media stay, we stay in tents. But that facility where we stay is right near this court complex, which is an incredibly sophisticated complex. It's surrounded by chain link fence. You have to go through two different security checkpoints where you go through a metal detector and you empty out all your pockets. And you have to be on a list before you can even get into the building. And then once you've gone through that checkpoint, you actually still have to stand in this kind of hallway until they let you into the court gallery. And the entrance for the court gallery is separate from the entrance to the actual courtroom. And when you're in the gallery, you know, as we've described, you are separated behind a wall and a plexiglass window. And while you can see what's happening in front of you, you can see the courtroom, you can see the desks, you can see the judge, you are disconnected from the real time because you're watching it all in this 40-second delay.
And these families, you know, they're very sympathetic to the security systems, the whole idea of checks that the military is controlling this. Yet there was a consensus, it seems, that was reached. Boy, it would be so much better if everybody could see this.
You heard throughout the week, from Sunday right through the end of the week, this real frustration about, why doesn't anyone know this is happening? Why doesn't anyone else get to see this? Why am I only going to get to see this for these few days? And then if they choose to see it again, they have to go to a specific facility, either Fort Meade in Maryland. There's also a fort here in New York. But this is not something that you can just go online and watch a stream of, or turn on, you know, a cable channel and watch gavel-to-gavel coverage. And for the families, I think they feel this sense of isolation, that they feel very much that something is happening, that justice is starting to work for their families, but no one else knows it's happening.
And Phyllis Rodriguez had something pretty profound to say about all that.
It's off the mainland, you know. It's not in the United States. It's not in a courthouse on our soil where people can attend, where there'd be more media coverage, and where I believe media has more rights to observe and report.
Phyllis Rodriguez of White Plains, New York, who lost her son Gregory, 31, in the attacks on 9/11/2001. It's an irony because of all the politics about having that case be tried in the Southern District of New York. Here these people come to the very same conclusion that that's where it should be.
You know, I will say several of the families, I asked them directly, do you think this should be tried in New York? Do you wish this was something that you could go to? And two of the families actually said no. They said they understood why it wasn't being held in New York City. They had friends who worked in Lower Manhattan and understood why people didn't want this necessarily in their backyards, given how, how the tragedy had impacted them. But there was still a sense that it was too remote. It was something that people didn't understand, and that, you know, the media has this really important responsibility to continue to follow the story and to make sure that people know what's happening, and to not only follow stories of the victims, but the story of the process and how is this process evolving. It's all based on a law that was, you know, signed in 2009. And so they're working out the details of exactly how this commission takes place.
Justice by improv. Well, we are grateful for your fresh eyes on this getting to be very old story now. Bridget Bergen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bridget Bergen, reporter for WNYC Radio, who spent the week at Guantanamo Bay last week and brings us the stories of the families who witnessed the pretrial hearings along with her. Thanks so much.